Can handle the truth.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news, my head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, we're back. This is Ralph Kermit Winrod II with the Ralph Winrod Show, coming to you live out of Alaska with about a foot of snow on the ground. Yay! Guess we'll have a white Christmas Thanksgiving here. Yeehaw. We got all the ditch divers. We got a bunch of them out of the road last night. I don't know how many. They closed the road for a while, for several hours. So I don't know how many they got rid of last night. But we got to get rid of them. It'll take a couple weeks. Anyways, I'm going to talk now about the citizen of the United States. Herein lies the core problem in this country. We do not know who we are. We think we know. What we think we know is not so. Therein lies the problem. And we've got a lot of us, we've claimed, oh, I'm not a citizen of the United States. How do we prove these things? You got to have real proof to do this stuff. So you got to lay a legal foundation. And this is what I'm working on, a module to be used on. I'm modulizing the stuff, all the information that I have now with memorandums to do this, separate ones, and different ones with definitions that are germane. Because I have so much information now, I cannot get it into a legal brief. And this will help in putting out a legal brief, is to get the concepts with a basically excerpt and then attach the memorandum for the in-depth analysis, but to get the concept aside or in the brief. Because when you go to appellate courts and stuff, you're limited to 14,000 words. And by the way, I want to, we have a case, Dave Gladden's case in Alaska. We challenged a judge. She has no office, and we're 100% correct. They dismissed it. I got to get back and file in the quorum non-judiciary. They don't have jurisdiction. Gladden no longer, he's off the range. He's pissed at me. That's fine. It works. It happens with people. They They just, I don't know what the happens. McAlpine, he's gone. Thornton, he's gone. Whatever. You help them and you do the evidence, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along and I've got the, anybody that comes along and says they got a silver bullet, you're going to absolutely win, run. Because the truth against what's going on is a hell of a fight. Having the truth does not automatically mean you're going to win immediately. Because hardly nobody's doing this, and I don't know why. I really don't. So anyway, we have a case of Gladden's going to be putting in a file of motion on that one, because I'm going to be going after on the foreclosure up here of Vanessa White. She's the one that said, I am an undersigned jurist. And I signed legal documents at the bottom, and to hell with it, I don't need an oath, I don't need a civil commission. And she signed the thing. You can't believe this. I said, that's arrogance. And she does not operate in the venue created by the legislature. This is the only way you can sue judges. Because if there is a de jure office, they cannot have the proper oath of office, they cannot have a civil commission, they cannot have a certificate of election, they can be as corrupt as hell, and you can't touch them. But if the office, the de jure office that they're operating and does not exist, created by the legislature or the Constitution, it's clear absence of all jurisdiction, and you can sue the suckers. And I filed the first case with Gladden and against Christina Ray out of Dillingham. And I got the borough's attention over here because they didn't put my land up for foreclosure this week or here. I'm coming for them because Vanessa White is the judge. She's the one that says, I'm an undersigned jurist. I don't need none of that other stuff. And she's in the Alaska Bar made the venue that she's in, not the legislature. She's nothing more than a representative of the Alaska Bar. And that's a fact. And they print it. And the attorneys take a Rule 5 and a Rule 64 oath. They can't do constitutional law. Rex Butler and a couple of other attorneys used to help me, and that's one of the things they said. We can't do constitutional law. They never told me why, but they were real helpful. And a lot of things. I understand why now. I can't do it. So, getting back to the citizen of the United States. We have to get around and be able to conclusively prove a legal foundation for a citizen of the United States. That's all Congress legislates over today. They went from statutes of the United States in the 1900s. They went from statutes of the United States to laws of the United States of America together. Then it was laws of the United States and the next of America. Then it was laws of the United States of America and public laws. Now it's only public laws. Really? What happened to statutes of the United States? It's all in the verbiage. It's terms. These guys do not speak English. They speak obfuscated corruption to overthrow our republic. And if you do not know their language, the terms, especially put things in quotation marks, you will lose. And the thing to understand is in these legal briefs and statutes, they mix both together. They go back and forth. So you have to read very carefully, understanding what's going on. It's there. Just takes practice. So anyway, how do we lay a good legal foundation? Well, first of all, the place to start is the District of Columbia. Why? Because in the District of Columbia, only citizens of the United States exist. There are no citizens of the several states. The 14th Amendment has no application there. It is clean. It is pristine. For citizens of the United States and Congress, United States of America and Congress assembled, has plenary power, absolute power over citizens of the United States in that 10 square miles. So we don't have anything to argue about here. There's no citizens of the several states. There's no several states. There's no, it's right there. So that is the legal foundation to found on a citizen of the United States. And we start off, a citizen of the United States is a qualified elector, and it's in the D.C. Code. It's in 1-100, or 1001, 1-1001.02, number 2. The term qualified elector means a person who, under B, is a citizen of the United States, end quote. Oh, there we go. We have a qualified elector in the District of Columbia that is a citizen of the United States. That's all that exists here. There's nothing else that can exist here. So we have eliminated all these other arguments right now. So the question becomes, what does this person do, this thing? What is it? What rights does he have? Does he do IRS? Because if we lay this legal foundation, and then we can take it, because you see what Congress can't do. They, my golly gee whiz, we can't discriminate. If you're a citizen of the United States in D.C., you can't discriminate if I'm a citizen of the United States out here in Alaska, can you? Of course not. My God, that'd be terrible. We can't do discrimination. So the first thing is, the citizen of the United States is a qualified elector. Do you know that he gets to vote? They get 3 votes in the Electoral College? They didn't used to do that. They get 3 votes, just like Alaska, in the Electoral College. Now, that ought to tell you something's wrong if you understand our republic was set up and D.C. had nothing to do with the Electoral College. They had nothing to do with any senators, representatives, or anything. It's the government of the United States. That is set up in the Constitution of the United States. Because you see, the first thing you need to understand when you start looking at this stuff, does a citizen of the United States have a country? Well, no. Does he? No. A citizen of the United States has no country. Did you know that? No, he has no country. Let me find it here. Let me find the government. Let me search on government of the United States. I'm going to search for it here in the Constitution. Where do we find it? It's found in Article 1, Section 17. That become the seat of the government of the United States. Okay. It's also in 18. The Constitution in the government of the United States. This is Clause 18 for tax court stuff. Necessary and proper. It also shows up in the electors. Let's see which one is this in. This is in Article 2. Which list shall sign the transfer and seal to the seat of the government of the United States. It shows up there in the Constitution of the United States. And also, there's a place. So guess what? Does a citizen of the United States have a country? No. The only thing that was set up was the government of the United States with the Constitution of the United States. So why would it be important whether you have a country or not? If you have a country of the United States, we got a problem. If you have even the basic understanding, because you see, the country that was set up initially was United States, the United States of America, with the in front of it, the Articles of Confederation composed of the several states, the states, but they were the several states eventually. And they were citizens of the United States. They called themselves that. That's different than the citizens of the United States today, under 14 Stat 27, created in 1866. This is the problem you run into. You see the same term, so you have to understand, is one defined and the timeline, because they take the same things and they define the same words to give them a new meaning. So we have the country, United States of America. It's still there. The Constitution says what? A Constitution for For, on behalf of United States of America, the country, United States of America. The United States of America still signs treaties. It has control over, though there are laws of the United States of America. There are territories in possession that belong to the United States of America. They sign treaties under the United States of America. There is an executive power vested in the President of the United States of America. Did you know that? It's in the Constitution. There's also an office of the President of the United States. Because you see, the President of the United States has an office. He is over control of the several states. The several states. Do they tell you this? See, this is where it gets confusing, because our form of government is several things. There is the United States of America. Well, when I become naturalized and I come into the country, how am I going to get into this country? The only country is the United States of America. So I have to come in as a naturalized, as a citizen of the United States of America. Did you ever read their naturalization documents? That's what it says. It says citizen of the United States of America, because it's the country of the United States of America that incorporates all of the several states, the D.C., territories and possessions. Everything is under that umbrella. So you have to come in as a citizen of the United States, because it's the country, of America, because it's the country. And once you get that document, naturalization of citizen of the United States of America, then you become domiciled in one of the several states, and you become a citizen of Alaska, a citizen of North Carolina, a citizen of Texas, a citizen of Minnesota, whatever, under its laws. And, or you can stay in D.C. and become a citizen of the United States, or you can go to the territories and possessions and be a citizen of the United States. But those are under the plenary power of Congress, where they put municipal entities over the top of you. Congress gives them the local rule of certain things. They don't tell us that, do they? Oh, there's much more to it than that. Because you see, a citizen of the United States in D.C., when it comes to the Internal Revenue Code, technically is the correct terminology, and Title 26 is the con, because it's never accepted into positive law. You know why it's not positive law? Why would we even have to have positive law? If it's a statute, why do we need positive law? Because we put it into code. Well, why don't they make Title 26 code? Because they can't. You know why? A citizen of the United States has no country. A citizen of the United States has no right to the elective franchise or the suffrage. He has a right to vote. He can go to the polls. And that's character of, that's out of character is a real important word. But to go inside and actually pull the lever, he has no right of the elective franchise or the right of suffrage. The Supreme Court said so over and over. Was that important? You think? Do you know why? What's important? A citizen of the United States has no political rights. Is that important? If you have no political rights, you have no right of suffrage, you have no right of the elective franchise, you don't have one damn say-so to the type of government that you are being under. You have no political rights. That's why they always talk about civil rights. Because civil rights comes out, there can be several things. You can be in France and own land over here and have civil rights the same as a citizen of the United States. Any of the several states. No. You'll be treated the same under civil rights. You'll be treated the same if you have land as a citizen of the United States. Yeah, absolutely. So the law of nations. Don't tell you that, do they? But a citizen of the United States has no political rights. So who is stepping in that does the political rights? Who has the political rights for a citizen of the United States? Got to be somebody. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a political government, would we? I've got 110 cases out of the Department of Justice documented. Excuse me. United States of America is a sovereign body politic. A sovereign body politic. United States of America is a sovereign body politic. Those are quotes. That's a quote. 110 cases out of DOJ. And complaints taken as true. That should just shock the living heck out of people if they have any constitutional background. Because the Supreme Court has said that the sovereignty is with the people. And we did a limited delegation of power to the several states and to the United States, to the Constitution of the United States. We're in charge. No, we're not. Because see, what they did after the Civil War, they reconstructed, they call it, if you've heard of the Reconstruction Acts, they flipped the citizenship. They are deeming a citizen of the United States to be the primary citizenship, and then you reside in one of the states. And that state is a corporate state, not the de jure several states. You are deemed to be a citizen of the United States that has no political rights. Can we see some of this stuff? Absolutely. Go look at 14 Stat 27. It's codified in 42 United States Code, 1981 and 1982. You have the same rights as white citizens. All contract, all civil rights stuff. That's the first Civil Rights Act. What the hell happened to the political rights? What, the poor Negroes were left hanging out there in 1866. They were conned. Same rights as a white citizen? Blacks ought to be up in arms. They didn't have the NAACP and the Southern Poverty and all these other communist outfits that they like for whatever reason, I don't know. So they put that in the 14th Amendment, but the 14th Amendment is divided into two parts. Born in the United States or naturalized, that's the Constitution side, or subject to the jurisdiction, which has got all kinds of qualifications to be a citizen of the United States or whatever, subject to the jurisdiction. How can you be subject to, if you're in the damn, if you have a venue, you're subject. If you're in the land of Oz, you can, you got all these things that you got to be subject to. You're a fiction. Don't tell you that. And then it even gets crazier. The real party of interest from 1789 to 1913 was just United States or the United States. If they have a government of the United States, the entity United States would be the real party of interest, you think? In 1913, all of a sudden they went to United States of America. Did we have an amendment? Did we have an overthrow? What the hell happened? Right there, when you see it, and you can prove it, because they did the 17th Amendment. We're going to have, instead of the legislatures of the several states, which is supposed to be the Senate represents the states, not the people. They changed that. 1913. Why would that make a big difference? Because you see, they did a little, just left out one word. First of all, by 1913, everybody thinks they're a citizen of the United States. So we already have the citizens of the several states with our qualified electors. We're no longer voting in that way. We're voting as a citizen of the United States that has no elective franchise, no right of suffrage. But I show up and I vote because they get me to sign up for it. I volunteer for it. Well, I don't know what it means. Sounds good to me. So I abandon my status. Well, there's nothing to say I couldn't do that. Like I could vote in a corporation if I wanted to be a stockholder or whatever. But then what they did is, you see in the Article 2, Section, or Article 1, Section 2, the House of Representatives is composed of members of the people of the several states. That's still there. People of the several states, not states, several states. So what did they do in the 17th? They left out the word several. So we got people of the states now. Well, we can define state, which they do, in the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. State means state of the United States. That means that that type of state is subservient to under the United States, like D.C. and the District of Columbia. It says so. They're both equal. We're both municipal entities today. We signed up for it. So in 1913, we got rid of the two parties to the Constitution of the United States. The people of the several states no longer vote that way because they signed up to be a citizen of the United States. Now go check your voter registration. A few of them United States of America, but most of them are citizens of the United States. And the other ones, same thing for senators. The legislatures no longer vote. So there's nobody home in the Constitution of the United States. Well, if there's nobody home, guess what we can also do? We can do the 16th Amendment, income from whatever source derived. Take it out of being allocated to the several states. We can also do something else. You see, if we don't have anybody home, we don't need the Coinage Act of 1792. We don't need that. We don't need real money no more. So let's do the Federal Reserve. Hey, isn't that coincidental how all that just happened? At the same time, they're taking away statutes of the United States and bringing in laws of the United States of America at the same time. Isn't that amazing how all that just coincides? And see, in 1911, we got rid of the circuit courts of the United States, the constitutional appellate courts, and brought in the circuit courts of appeal that started in 1891. So in 1911, we got rid of the constitutional appellate court, and then, of course, we didn't transfer the circuit courts of the United States constitutional power to the circuit courts of appeal. We transferred it to the district court of the United States, a lower court. Why would they do that? Because it's the only constitutional court left. They couldn't transfer it to the other one because it's all based on this federal question, federal rights nonsense, which they modified the Judiciary Act in 1875 because we got federal rights now. We're getting benefits. And you see, constitutional courts can't deal with benefits. It's been ruled over and over. Heyburn's case, Dismuth, Babcock, all kinds of cases. It's called creating rights against against itself. And constitutional courts can't do that. That's all administrative nonsense. Isn't that amazing how this is just all starting to fit together? So now we have a citizen of the United States in D.C. So does he have the protection of taxation without representation? No. They have ruled over and over, I think five or six times now. The Supreme Court keeps knocking them down. You idiots that are citizens of the United States in the District of Columbia have no protection of taxation without representation because it is not in the Constitution of the United States. It only applies to the citizens of the several states. Not to you in D.C. as a citizen of the United States. Really? So Congress can tax the hell out of a citizen of the United States, whatever they can get away with. Isn't that amazing? Pretty interesting, huh? Then they said, well, by golly, I'm a citizen of the United States and I have right to an Article 3 constitutional court, the judicial power of the United States in all cases in law and equity, Article 3, Section 2. I have a right to a constitutional court. I want the English common law. No, you don't. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back here. Go look it up. It's HEALD versus District of Columbia, 259 U.S. 114. 259 U.S. 114. Residents of the district lack suffrage and have politically no voice in the expenditure of the money raised by taxation. There is no constitutional provision which so limits the power of Congress that taxes can be imposed only upon them that have political representation. They have no protections of the... This is Mike. Take the rest of it. If you put it in a thing, and they can list all kinds of cases. I don't know, six or seven of them here. They have no protection of taxation without representation.
Duh.
You think? 15th Amendment does not have any confer any right of suffrage. That's LeGrand, LE GRANN versus United States, 12F as in Frank, 577, and many other cases. That amendment relates to the right of citizens of the United States. It does not confer the right of suffrage on anyone. It merely invests citizens of the United States with the constitutional right of exemption from discrimination in the exercise of the elective franchise on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. See U.S. versus Reese, 92 U.S. 214. Yeah, 92 U.S. 214. That's just one of many. You got no right of suffrage. Right? You got no right for any political anything. We screwed. 14th Amendment does not apply. Nailed. NEIL deal versus DC. 110 F2D 246. 110 F as in Frank 2D 246. 14th Amendment inapplicable to the District of Columbia. On the other hand, the rights and liberties protected by the Bill of Rights Amendments 1 through 8 against the encroachment by the national government have been held applicable to the district, although not to the states. Did you know that? They don't tell you this, though, do they? Oh, it gets better. Because you see, a citizen of the United States, this is a good case, Cook versus Tate, T-A-I-T. 265 U.S. 47. This is a great thing to understand. 265 U.S. 47. In other words, the principle was declared that the government, by its very nature, benefits the citizen. There's the word benefits. And his property, wherever found, and therefore has the power to make the benefit complete. If you have a benefit, you have no right to any remedy. Or if they give you a remedy, it can be anything. It can be the wrong remedy. It can be only administrative. Many cases, Supreme Court has held that. You take the benefit, you're screwed. So they're talking about a benefit of being a citizen of the United States. Continuing on, or to express it another way, the basis of the power to tax was not and cannot be made dependent upon the citizen of the property in all cases. It being in or out of the United States, nor was not and cannot be made dependent upon the domicile of the citizen, that being in or out of the United States, but upon, here we go, his relation as a citizen of the United States and the latter, and the relation of the latter to him as a citizen. The consequences of the relation in that native citizen who is taxed may have domicile and a property from which has income be derived, may have citus in a foreign country, and the tax be legal, the government having power to impose the tax. No matter where now, how you are, no matter whatever, if you're a citizen of the United States, they can tax you and come get you because of the benefit, because we signed up for it. Oh, but there's much more. We have to prove this, the benefit of this. This is the stuff, but there's a lot more to this. You see, we got something else that we get to. Because you see, in the District of Columbia, they have a form, and it's called a D-40 or D-40EZ forms. And on it, it also has federal income tax. This is a killer word, federal income tax. Those are killer words that they don't want to define. So, if I'm in D.C., only a citizen of the United States exists there, I have to fill out a form, D-40 or EZ. I also am using a form, 1040, OMB 1545-0074. I'm using the same thing for a W-4. To claim exemptions or not. I'm using this, get the same W-2, the same 1099s, the same I-9, the same W-9. Everything is the same in the District of Columbia for citizens of the United States under the Internal Revenue Code. Also mirrored in Title 26. So do you think there might be a absolute connection, irrefutable connection, that if I'm a citizen of the United States, that applies to me? The IRS are using the exact same forms. They don't modify them. And I'm using federal income tax on the DC-40. I'm using the same gross income and all this other nonsense. So we have established that if I am a citizen of the United States, I am stuck with the Internal Revenue Code, the Internal Revenue Service, and I am receiving a benefit no matter ever, wherever the hell I am, and I'm screwed. And I have no rights to suffrage, no rights to the elective franchise, no rights to a constitutional court, no rights to taxation without representation. Well, if it applies in D.C., it's got to apply everywhere, doesn't it? You think? Of course it does. Did they tell you that? No. Did they tell you that the Form 1040 is an implied in law contract? I have to volunteer an obligation to owe money to get money back for a return, but the IRS has no obligation to me. Why would I do something that stupid? Why doesn't, if I'm going to be charged with tax evasion, why wouldn't I bring that up on a notice of deficiency? Why wouldn't I bring up withholding agent? Where's the authority to withhold? Why do I, what if I go into a court, then let's see, if I'm in D.C., is there a constitutional court in D.C.? No. Do you know why? The Supreme Court of the United States is there. It's a constitutional court because it's in the Constitution. They can't get rid of it. Has there ever been a constitutional court in D.C.? No. Why? Because in D.C., there is no limited jurisdictional courts, federal or courts of the United States, because those only exist in the several states. The one in D.C. has a general jurisdiction. It does every fucking thing. It does everything. So how do we pull this off out here in the hinterlands? I mean, if we have established that it only applies, we've got a legal foundation that's only for citizens of the United States. Every freaking form, everything is the same. And there's no constitutional courts, no protection of taxation without representation. Sounds like a great place to be, you think? And we only have due process, no due process of law. See, they can't do due process of law because you have to have a country. Because due process of law means law of the land. You got to have a freaking land. That's why all this administrative crap is always due process. And what's irritating to me is you do all these lawyers and stuff, they just use due process anymore. Why don't we use due process of law? Of law? It's been around for a long time. And then you go check out some of these cases where they're suing old Trump on the census and all that. We got sovereign states of the United States of America. Sovereign states of the United States of America. Really? You didn't join the union and become one of the several states? Really? Yeah, they do that. And then I even found United States of America, which is a sovereign body politic, which is all cases in United States district courts, not district courts of the United States since 1948. Yeah, United States of America can be sued as an agency under 5 U.S.C. 703 through 6. An agency? You go check all of the IRS, criminal, everything is always United States of America, sovereign body politic, and then it automatically somehow swoops over to the benefit of the United States, which means that the United States is not the real party of interest. So who's United States of America as a sovereign body politic? That's Congress since 1913. And nobody's taken this on. Why? It's all there. Yeah. It's all there. Oh, but it gets even worse yet. And I don't understand why the people don't get this information. Maybe they get it from Pacer. I doubt it. I don't know. I've got all this lined out in a timeline in Moody's case. Because there's so much more to this, like this federal income tax. That was done in, let me go back and find that. That was done in Heverling. Heverring versus Gerhardt. It's 304 U.S. 405. 304 U.S. 405. I found this in the Public Salary Act. 1939, because you see, the Fed said, well, we'll allow you to tax us, and the states said, well, we'll tax each other back and forth. So they made agreements, because there's no authority to tax. And then they clarified who can do the tax in this case. And they ain't got nothing to do with you or me. They listed all the different cases that they can do this in this case. 1938 case, Supreme Court said all the different people that there's taxation, and it's all right there. Ain't got nothing to do with you or me. The Public Sovereign Act, but they did the Buck Act of 1940. They said, we're going to put you in a federal area. We're deemed to be a citizen of the United States. I could be deemed to be the president of the United States, too, if I could find some idiot to believe it, just to make a law. But what's even crazier yet, and I don't know why, because this would bring down all civil or all criminal convictions, basically. Let me do a search on this. And I'm going to actually put this into the court systems, because I'm done. I don't see, nobody wants to pay any attention to this stuff anymore. They just don't, because I tell you, push them, they're just not going to do it. It is so corrupt. So imagine if you had a real habeas corpus showing what the these courts are within black and white. We have a guaranteed, secured right to have, quote, judicial power of the United States, end quote, in all cases in law and equity to exist. Do they? No. Because in 1948, they threw everything aboard and they made the United States District Court, which exercised the judicial power of a district court, which is strictly statutory. Can we prove it? Oh, they print it. I love these people. Eastern Metal Corporation versus Martin, 191 F SUP, S-U-P-P 245, 191 F period S-U-P-P 245, 1960. The United States District Court is an inferior court and inferior to the United States Supreme Court. The District Court is a tribunal created by Congress under the power given to Congress, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. Not Article 3, Sections 1 and 2, constitutional. It's a tribunal of the United States Constitution, not the Constitution of the United States, which provides Congress shall have the power, quote, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, another case, end quote, to constitute tribunals. You know what's wrong with that? Does it say to establish and ordain like it does in the Constitution or in Article 3? When you establish and ordain, it's there permanently, folks, and you have to have external amendments to it. These constitutions are doing for these, quote, states today, they don't have external amendments, few that I've looked at. No, they're all embedded inside. They rewrite them every year. Alaska is rewritten every year because it's a constitution for a municipal entity. It's not established and ordained. So anyway, we go on down to the creation and composition of the United States District Court is presently found in Title 28-132. The United States District Court only has such jurisdiction as Congress confers on it. The general jurisdiction of the United States Senate is set in 28, United States Court, Chapter 85, Section 1331 through 1360. 1331 goes back to the 1875 modification to the Judiciary Act for a federal question for benefits. Isn't that special? They don't tell you that either, do they? But they have the general jurisdiction? No, the constitutional courts are limited jurisdiction. We go on better. We got another good one here, too. United States versus Roberts, 618 F2D 530. 618 F2D 530. There shall be in each judicial district, there used to be districts, a district court, not a district court of the United States. The judicial power of the district court. What the hell is that? It says, may be exercised by a single judge. That's an inquisition, folks. Okay, let's continue on. The last provision should be noticed. It is fundamental that a district judge has no judicial power individually. His judicial power is exercised as a representative of the court. He is representing the frickin' court. Really? I thought he was supposed to be independent, interpreting the laws of the United States in Article 6. He represents the court. Oh, it gets better. Jurisdiction is lodged in a court. Really? And not in a person. The judge exercising the jurisdiction acts for the court. He's acting on behalf of the court. District courts are solely the creation of statute. The place in which the judge, therefore, may exercise jurisdiction is subject absolutely to the control of Congress. So the frickin' damn judge in the United States District Court since 1948, he representing the court, and it's under the control of Congress. Pelosi and Schiff and Schumer and all these other idiots. Is that where you want to go? Why doesn't anybody bring this up? They print it, folks. They admit it. Nobody's only back in a minute.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, well, we're back here. And why does anybody want this information? I don't know. For Mooney's case, which is going up in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals here, got a complaint with all the kinds of attachments, 35 attachments to prove all this stuff. Do we have any public officers of the several states? No. There's no elections for them. The National Voter Registration Act of 1993 is only for federal offices. It's codified in 52 United States Code. It says so. It's only for federal offices. And what's even crazier yet, in 185, ALR 155, that's 185, American Law Review 155, do you know the 10th Amendment doesn't have any application? Did you know that? Do you realize the Bill of Rights said that what's not in the Constitution is reserved to the states and to the people? But the 10th Amendment we don't use now? Yeah. Because you see, from the organic amendments 1 through 12, we went to 13th. It's for the overlay for citizens of the United States, where Congress has the power to legislate and all this other nonsense, if you go read the end of them. It says so. The 14th Amendment, a citizen of the United States. There's no elections for any of the public officers in the several states. They say so in the ALR. The 10th Amendment is irrelevant. We don't use it. I didn't write it. They wrote it, and they explain it. Will people believe it? No. Should they? No. Shouldn't they want to check out the facts and have some critical thinking and maybe say, I'll be damned. This is why things don't work well. I go into a federal court, I go into a state of Alaska court. The judge, before jeopardy attaches to a jury, has to say, is anybody here not a citizen of the United States? Why does he have to say that? Because I have to give my consent. Every time I get screwed, I have to consent. I sit there like a bump on a log and do nothing. I've actually done that with a jury. But I sued a trooper. I won at the Ninth Circuit. But so what? I didn't understand what was going on. I lost the other case when I used it in civil court because I didn't have the money to go back up again. I knew what the judge did on the jury instruction. He rigged them. He knew it and I knew it. Takes money to fight these people. The problem is we have very few people that can fight them. I'm trying to put this information out to the IRS list. IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com. $250 postal buddy order, Walmart's better. I'll give you the stuff. If you can't afford it, just tell me why, and I'll still send it to you. Wake up and fight. Because if we don't fight, our republic's gone. We're going to have more of this show shift nonsense, this crap that he's putting out. Total freaking lies. The media is propaganda. They're gone. The Democratic Party is gone. A lot of the rhinos are gone. We got a whole bunch of them. We got Trump fighting, and we got to get us to get off our butts and get some balls and some knowledge and wisdom. I am not a citizen of the United States. I owe permanent allegiance to the United States, the government, absolutely. 8 U.S.C. 1101 A 22 B. Not a citizen of the United States, but I owe permanent allegiance to it. And in the front of it, it says I'm either a citizen of the United States or I'm not. But I owe permanent allegiance. It's on your passport, too, by the way. Anyway, God willing, we will see you next Sunday and watch out for the federales. And I'm hoping that the indictments and the eye of the report comes out this week.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can.